So, imagine this, a portrait of King Charles III, but it wasn't painted by a person.
Right, not in the traditional sense. This one was created by a robot.
Exactly. Happened this week in Geneva. And that's what we're diving into today, this mix of art, tech, and even diplomacy.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. We've been looking into Ida Robot and this latest piece.
So we've got the articles, the research, let's unpack it.
And it's more than just the painting itself, isn't it? It feels like a deliberate cultural conversation starter.
How so?
Well, it's designed to make us think about AI's role, how it's changing things, culturally speaking. It's pushing AI art into like serious global discussions, ethics, diplomacy, the works.
Okay, so who is Ida? Tell us about her.
Right. So she's billed as the world's first ultra-realistic humanoid robot artist. Came about in 2019. A collaboration, actually. Oxford and Birmingham universities were involved in building her.
And she paints, like actual oil paintings and talks.
She does, which is kind of wild. Her process is, well, it's pretty unique. She uses cameras in her eyes,
To see.
kind of. Computer vision algorithms then process what the cameras pick up. And then her robotic arm does the painting, physically applies the paint.
So it's not just digital, it's a physical object.
Exactly. And they say it's finished off by hand, her robotic hand, obviously, which does raise a question, doesn't it? Does that physical aspect make it, I don't know, easier to accept, soften the debate?
Maybe. And here's where it gets really interesting for me. Her creators claim she meets the definition of creativity.
That's a big claim.
Yeah, coming up with something new, surprising, and of value. They even talk about her having agency and making decisions.
Which, if you think about the bigger picture, that directly challenges how most people see AI, right? Just as a tool. So, saying she has agency, that she's creative, it's a strategic push to normalize the idea that something non-human can be an artist. It kind of shakes up our ideas about authorship.
And it's not her first big piece, is it? She's done other high-profile stuff.
Not at all. She did the Algorithm Queen back in 2022 for Queen Elizabeth II, and her portrait of Alan Turing, AI God, sold for over $1 million.
$1 million.
At Sotheby's, yeah, made her the first humanoid robot to sell art at a major auction house. Plus, she's spoken, or, well, appeared at the House of Lords, the UN.
So she gets around, which leads us to reactions, I guess. How are people taking this?
It's very polarized, as you might expect. Some people are genuinely excited. They see new possibilities, new frontiers for art.
About others.
Others are worried. Significant fear, actually, about what this means for human artists, for jobs. You know, they see it as a threat, part of this whole fourth industrial revolution discussion.
And the criticism of the art itself, what's the argument there?
The main critique seems to be that it lacks, well, that deeply personal touch, you know, genuine human experience, emotion, a unique perspective.
So it can feel flat, impersonal.
That's the word used, yeah. Because the argument goes AI doesn't have real intent. It doesn't understand the context or the implications of what it's creating.
But the other side sees it differently.
Absolutely. Proponents see AI as just another medium, like a new kind of paintbrush, essentially.
So a tool for collaboration.
Exactly. You have artists like So-Gwyn Chung, who trains AI on her own work and then uses robots to paint with her. It becomes this sort of feedback loop, almost like jamming, but with a machine. Rific Anadol does those huge immersive AI installations. The feeling among these artists is it's about fusion machine efficiency, human insight. They really believe the future is collaboration.
Let's talk market impact, though. Because that's tangible, right? You mentioned a crowding out effect.
Yeah, the data suggests a huge increase in AI-generated images being offered for sale, just skyrocketed.
And that pushes out human artists.
It seems so. One study showed human-generated image sales fell pretty dramatically, and buyers actually showed a preference for the AI stuff.
Which brings up a whole host of ethical questions.
Oh, definitely. Like, who owns this art? If AI makes it, who gets the copyright? The U.S. Copyright Office says no copyright unless a human contributed significantly. Then there's privacy, all the data scraped to train these models, bias in that data, and of course, the big one, job displacement for artists. It's complex.
So bringing it back to Ida and King Charles, this portrait at the UN feels, well, symbolic.
Totally. It's this compelling intersection, right? Innovation, art, technology, all meeting. And it really forces us all to ask big questions.
about creativity, authorship.
Yeah, and what being human even means when machines can do things like this.
And the fact that Ida herself speaks, does engagements, It shows we kind of want to personify AI, doesn't it?
It really does. It makes these complex ideas maybe more relatable, easier to grapple with. It's a clever way to keep that cultural conversation going.
So maybe the value isn't just the price tag on the painting.
Perhaps not. Maybe the real value is how it makes you think. Think about where creativity is heading.
What happens when human ideas and AI tech really start to merge? What new kinds of expression pop up?
Exactly. It's like we're all on this journey together, figuring out these new questions about identity, art, and who gets to create it.